We're going to start from verse 1. Genesis 45, verse 1.
Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard.
Last week, if you remember, we learned that Judah was trying to convince Joseph, if you take Benjamin here, arrest him or make him slave, and when we go with the empty-handed, our father will die. And so Judah was telling Joseph, our father is an old man and he's going to die, so please do not keep Benjamin here. And so when he heard that, he felt so bad that he felt crying. And so he says to all of those people, get out of my sight. Those people were his bodyguards and officers protecting him, taking care of him. But now he's saying, everybody out. He did not tell his brothers to get out of my sight. He only told the Pharaoh's officers and Joseph's servants to get out of my sight. And when he started crying loud, if you remember, before that he cried a little bit and he went and washed his face and came in. But this time he was crying so much, could not control it. And so the word of God says, all the Egyptians people, they heard it. Not only that, the Pharaoh heard it. Now, I don't know, Pharaoh's house was close to him, but the news goes so fast. Any bad news travels so fast. And so many people might have ran to Pharaoh and told that Joseph's brothers are here. He is crying, he is weeping, and something is happening in the Joseph's house. And so the news went to the Pharaoh. Let's read the verse 3.
And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence.
Now Joseph asked this question before. Joseph asked, how is your father and how is your family? And everybody's okay. And they said, okay. But now this time, they understood this is Joseph. And then he says, is my father alive? Is my father okay? And when they heard this, they got scared. The fear came to their heart. This is Joseph, and Joseph is going to kill us now. Because we are the one, we sold Joseph to Egypt. Now he's going to take revenge. He's going to kill us. So they were a little bit afraid. But the word of God says, Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Some scholar says, that means he revealed to his brethren, you know what? I am circumcised person. I am not Egyptian. Look at me, I am already circumcised and I am your brother. Otherwise, they are not going to believe. They might be thinking this is another trick. We don't know what is in this man's heart. But when he says, Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, that means he showed some proof that I am really your brother. And then he asked the question, is my father alive? And they could not say a word. They were completely shut their mouth and just looking at Joseph. I don't know what he's going to do next. Now what Joseph is saying, come closer to me. Let's read the verse 4.
And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. 5 now?
Yeah.
Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life.
Now here the Joseph is saying, come close to me. Now, I don't know how far they were. They did something wrong. Joseph now is going to scold them or what? They found out they were put in the prison sometimes, and they were scolded some couple of times. So now they didn't know what he was going to do. Even though all of their fault, he says, come closer to me. Just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. What Jesus said, O heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. This people's heart was troubled. What this man is going to do? He said, I'm not going to harm you. Come close to me. You might be thinking that you did something wrong. But don't worry. You might have sold me to the Egypt. But this was the plan of God. God sent me ahead of you to protect you, to save you, that you should not die. And in later he is saying, 2 years of famine is already finished. 5 more years to go. So he's trying to say, I'm the one going to save your life. I'm the one going to protect you. If I don't, then all Israeli tribes or Jewish people will vanish from the earth. But God sent me here to keep you alive, not you, but your generation to come. And so he said, come closer to me. And he wanted to talk to them. Let's read the verse 6.
For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance.
Now he is saying, I'm telling you the truth. This famine is 2 years have passed. 5 more years? Nobody can sow anything. Nobody can reap anything. No harvest is coming. So the 5 years, they will be great famine. In that famine, no one will survive. Everybody will die. And Israeli people, if you brethren do not listen to me and be stubborn and go back and do not want to listen to me, all of you are going to die. I am your deliverer. I am the one who is going to give you life, preserve your life. So listen to me very closely. Don't be stubborn. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 8.
So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt.
Now he say, you did not send me here. God sent me here. And he says, now when I came here, I'm the Pharaoh's father. I was thinking, how can he say that I'm the Pharaoh's father? Yesterday we were studying, if you remember, God sent to Moses and he said, you know what? Aaron will be your mouthpiece and you will be his God. So how can Moses be Aaron's God and Pharaoh's God? And so now he's saying that I am father to Pharaoh. So I thought maybe Pharaoh was a younger man than Joseph. And so Pharaoh said to him, you know what? You be the in charge of the whole country. I will just eat the bread. And that's it. You do everything. And so Joseph is saying, I'm just like a father to Pharaoh. Not only that, ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Not only certain place, but all the land of Egypt, I am the ruler. I'm going to take care of you. And so he is saying, I am not the ordinary man, but I did not become like this because God did it. You try to kill me. You tried to destroy me. You hated me, but God raised me up. Sometimes your brothers or your sisters, you look down on them and you say, they are nobody, they are trash, they cannot do anything, they don't have anything, I'm the smartest one and I can do a greater thing than the other brother or other sister. But he said, you try to kill me, you try to destroy me, but God raised me and God made me ruler over all Egypt. And so he is saying, whatever you did bad, but God did it something good for me. Not only for me, but God wanted to save the children of Israel. That's what the God's plan was. And that's what I'm here. Verse 9.
Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not.
Now he says, go, hurry up. Go and bring my father here and tell him that I am the in charge of the whole country. But do not tarry, means do not waste your time. Go right now and bring my father here. He was craving for his father. Now Joseph is, do you know how many years old he is? Now Joseph is 32 years old. And when he was 17 years old, they sold him to Egypt. And now, this many years pass, he is craving for his father. Now he says, please go and bring my father here as soon as possible. Verse 10.
And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast.
Now Joseph is saying this by faith. He doesn't know that father is going to agree to come. He doesn't know that this his brother and going and telling the story. He doesn't know. But he is saying everything by faith. You are going to come. Not only I'm going to see my father, but you are coming back to this country. You are coming, not only you and your wives and your children, but you are bringing your goats and your cows and your sheep and everything what you have. You are going to bring it here and you are going to live in the best land in Egypt. Now he's just saying by faith. He doesn't know if Pharaoh is going to disagree. He doesn't know the other people will disagree. He doesn't know his father will disagree. But he is saying by faith. That's the way faith works. When you want to do something or get something, you are going to say to yourself, this is what God is going to do, and this is what I want. The word of God says, if you read in Mark chapter 11, and have faith in God. If you have faith in God, and then whatever you say or whatever you do, it will happen to you. Please read, maybe 22.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God.
Jesus said, have faith in God. God did the miracle. Jesus did the miracle to increase their faith. He said, if I did it, you can do it also. Please read.
For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
See? Whatever you say from your mouth, it will happen to you. People go and do the interview and come back and say, I don't think I'm going to get that job because the person was so rude to me and that person didn't do good interview to me. And so you get negative idea. I'm not going to get it. But you have to trust in God and believe in God. If you trust in God, even though somebody says you are not qualified, God makes you qualified. You believe in God, he said, this is what I'm going to get, and you will get it. Because God sees your faith. That's what he says, have faith in God. When I wanted to come to America, so many obstacles came. I already told that story. I went to the visa office and they said, don't come back, your papers are bad. But the next day I went and I got my visa. The point I'm making, when God says I'm going to do it, don't worry what other people said. Now, Joseph had the faith in God. He knew that God has given me dream. All obstacle came, but he never blamed God. He never said, "Oh God, why me? You showed me the dream. And I, by faith, I showed my brother and my father, and they accused me. But I am going through all kinds of trials and tribulations. Did I see the right dream?" But the word of God says, when God showed him, and now he is the second to Pharaoh. Now he is the ruler of the Egypt. Now he knows that God heard my prayer. Now here he's saying, by faith, you're going to come. My dad is going to come. All our animals are going to come. Whatever the property you have, bring it and live in this best land of Goshen. He's saying by faith. And see, when he said by faith, God honored him. Read a little bit further. Go to the Genesis chapter 45 and verse 10.
"And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you."
Now he says, I'm giving you an invitation. I'm inviting you and your families and animals and everything. The famine is going to be 5 more years. So do not delay and come. And then he says, now you are seeing me with your own eyes. This is not disguise. I already showed you the proof that I am your brother. And I am talking to you. And my Benjamin, my brother, he has seen me face to face. And you have seen me face to face. So he's saying, this is not a fake thing. Up to now, I was playing game with you people, but this is not a game. This is not a gimmick. This is real. And that's what he's trying to say, because some people do not have faith. What they say, I do not believe until I see it. I tell these people, if you see and then believe, that is not a faith. If I say, I have something behind me, it's around, it's a small, it's contained with the water, and people drink from it, and I'm going to give it to you. But if you say, I don't know what it is, show us, then we believe. And then I say, here it is. And then you believe. That is not a faith. Faith is which you do not know, but the person who is explaining to you, you believe that thing exists, and that is the faith we have to believe. So he is trying to say, you didn't know who I was, but now you see me face to face. There is nothing hidden. Verse 13.
"And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither."
Now he is saying boldly, you have seen the glory. First also he said, bring my father. Now he says, you have seen, tell my father all the glory, all the power I have in this land. So bring my father here. Let's read the verse 14.
"And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him."
Now, first of all, he goes to the Benjamin, goes to his shoulder and kisses him and cries, and Benjamin is crying. Now these people are thinking, he got his brother, and now he doesn't care about us because we are the one bought his brother. Now what is going to do to us? He didn't say, okay, all brother, let's come together and cry together. He said, let Benjamin come to me first. They were close, but now he went to Benjamin, started hugging and kissing, and Benjamin is crying and he's crying, and those are brothers maybe staring at him. What is next? Then he said, he called everybody and cried with everybody, and he did not have any partiality. And so that's what he is showing. He loved everyone. verse 16.
And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants.
Now, we already heard that when Joseph was crying, people already told him Joseph is crying, and many people came to know. But now they understood why he's crying. Somebody said, Joseph's brother came. Pharaoh could say, hey, I made this man prime minister or next to me. Now, what I'm going to do with his brethren? If they take over our country, what will happen to us? But God put some favor in Pharaoh's heart. Why? Because Joseph, by faith, he said, you're going to come, my father is going to come, and we are going to dwell in this land, and we will have all this best land for us. So God honor his saying. There is a word, he says, God will honor the prophet. If the prophet prophesies something, and people say, oh, you said something, nothing happened, God will prove it to the people that the man of God said something, God will support it. And so Joseph said something by faith. This is what's going to happen. And he had no doubt that Pharaoh will say, don't bring your family here. You can provide the food, whatever you want. I don't want them coming here. Let them stay there. Sometimes, you know, your relatives, they want to come to America. And you said, they're troublemakers. We don't want them to coming here. We can support them there. Don't come here. When I wanted to come to America, and I sent a letter to Billy Graham, I sent a letter to Walt Robert, I sent a letter to T.L. Osborne, and many others. I'm just giving few names. Most of the people wrote me back. What they were saying, stay in India. We will give you the literature. We will give the pamphlets. You can distribute our literature there. Stay in there. Don't come to America. But only Walt Robert wrote to me. He says, the righteous man's steps ordered by God. Then I said, Lord, I'm righteous. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm washed. Why am I going to America? I said, I'm not going to America to make money. I'm not going to go to churches to beg money. Why am I coming to America? Only one reason, because I was reading the Bible and I came to book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and it says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be my witness in Judea, Samaria, an uttermost part of the world. Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, an uttermost part of the world. And I said, Lord, I visited whole India. I learned India's languages. When I was there, I knew so many languages. Now, 40 years or more, I am starting forgetting some of them. But I learned so many languages. I was speaking in their languages. I didn't have any idea to come to America. I had the car. I was traveling so many places. I had invitation to go to so many places. And I was busy. Every Sunday, we had baptism service. So I was busy. But when I read this word and I said, okay, according to this, I did Samaria, I did Jerusalem, I did Judea, and I did everything. Now I have to go to the uttermost part of the world. So the next country was Pakistan. I applied to Pakistan. And that time, that was 1965, there was a war between India and Pakistan. So Pakistani people refused to give me the visa. So I sat there and I said, Lord, if I cannot go to the next country, how can I fulfill your promise going to around the world? Then God said to me, I'm going to take you to America. And I thought London and America is the same. If God would have said to me, I'll take you to London, I'll be same thing, happy. But I said, I don't know why America. America is a little bit further than London. But that time I didn't understand. But when I came to America, I learned America is free country, not like a London. London, there are people living there, immigrant, and they don't make them citizen. But in America, if you are immigrant, you can be citizen within 5 years. And so not only that, there is no restriction so far right now, religious and this and that. And so I learned God brought me here for purpose. And when I was coming from India, many people tried to hold me down. We will give $5,000 a week. We will give the church. You don't go and this and that. But I said, I'm not going to America to make money. I want to go there, put my headquarters there, and preach the gospel around the world. This is just, I said it by faith. Today, it came true. Today, we are preaching 122 countries around the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and printed pages other way. So the point I'm making, I had that faith that God is going to do some miracles and he will bring me to America. And I'm telling the truth. I did not go to church begging for money yet. And I am not paid servant yet. So I am living by faith. So Joseph was telling by faith, and now Pharaoh came to know. And Pharaoh's saying, you know, Joseph, bring your father, bring his brother. Not only that, bring all the animals and everything and live in the best land. Let's read a little bit further, verse 17.
And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take ye wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father and come.
See, Joseph just said, go and bring my father and all of your relatives and all your animals. Now if they would have gone right away without asking Pharaoh's help, they would be traveling all these little children and family and animals, and it will take a long time. You remember when Jacob was coming from Laban's house and his brother came, Esau, he said, brother, come, I have 400 warriors with me and we will take you and let's hurry up and let's go. He said, no, I have little children, I have little animals, I cannot hurry, you go. And he took a long time to come from Laban's house to come to Canaan. But God did a favor. Whatever Joseph wanted, God did more than that. Not only that, God spoke to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, okay, you know what? I want you to bring everybody, your wives, your children, your animals and everything. And not only that, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you the wagons. That means trucks. Get the 18-wheeler trucks. Load everything. Load all your stuff and your animals and everything and come. That's what Pharaoh said. Now these people, they have to make a decision. But when they got all this information, they were excited. 5 years, if they don't come, they will be dead. I said to one of my brothers, I'm going to bring you to America. I sent the papers and visa and everything ready to come. He said, I cannot come. I have to take care of my family and this and that. I said, okay. I did not call him then. Today, he is still in India. He is the poorest than poorer. After that, I said, okay, if you're not coming, I'll bring another brother. Then another brother came. Today, I don't have to give him a helping hand. He has his own house. He has the money and everything. And so he is all right. The other person, when I was bringing him, he didn't want to come. So if he didn't come, what happened? He's not rich. He's still poor, living in a one-bedroom house. And so many children and things like that. I even gave him a choice. I said one of my younger brother selling the house and going to another place. And so I said to my younger brother, I said, you know what? I'm going to purchase your house and I'm going to give it to these people. because they are living in one bedroom house and they don't have the facility like your house. And he said, okay, I'm going to give it to you. And so when I made the arrangement, I sent the down payment, and then these people say, oh, we don't want that house. I am the one paying the money, and they don't want the house. So what I did, I said, sir, I cannot tell you now, send that money back to me, build the church. And that money, my other brother used it and built the church. So the point I'm making, sometimes people do not know how to take God's blessing, and they lose it. But now see what these people are going to do. Verse 20.
Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours.
See what he's trying to say? Not only you are coming to Egypt, all the good of the land is yours. Means whatever the fruit is produced in this land is yours. You can take some of this if you want to give it to your daddy to impress him to come to Egypt. And so they not only got the land, they not only got the place, but he says, now all the fruit of the land is yours. Go anywhere, eat anything, do anything, you are free. Okay, verse 21.
And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way.
What the Pharaoh said, this is the command. What was the command? Take the wagons. Take whatever you want, and bring your dad and your family members. So Joseph is adding into that. He said, this is the Pharaoh's command. If I don't do, then I will be doing something wrong. So this is the command of Pharaoh, and so this is commanded by Pharaoh, so nobody can say, don't do it. Now Joseph wanted to do it, Pharaoh wanted to do it, now they agreed, and he said, this is Pharaoh's command, take all the wagons, take all the things, and bring my father and all the family here. You know, those people might be rejoicing in their heart. Wow! Up to now, we thought we are slaves, we are going to die, Benjamin is going to be there, my father is going to die. But see what now happening. All the things are blessings coming one after another. Once you give your heart to Jesus Christ, there is nothing impossible then. Because what the word of God says, when you give your heart to the Lord, you are belong to God, they are your children of God. What is belong to God is belong to you. If you read in Galatians, you would know, whatever is belong to God is belong to us. We are not ordinary people. Then why some people are always living like a beggars, living in poverty, living in wants? Why? Because they have no connection with the Father. If they have a connection with the godly Father, whatever God has is all belong to you. When somebody asked me, I told you, when you're buying a $1 million building, and somebody said, do you have a money? What I say? Oh, my father is rich. We don't have any lack. Our father is in heaven. He provides everything. We don't have to worry about anything. The word of God says, Isaac sowed in famine. That is in Genesis chapter 26. So he sowed in the famine and he got 100-fold in return, and all his enemies were jealous. But he has to put it in the ground. He could not see it. When you put it in the ground, it takes almost 3 days at least to come a little bit up. And you have no idea if the rain is coming or what. So he put it in the dry ground, no water. God sent the water, God sent the increase, and he got 100-fold in return. So the point I'm making, if somebody wants to live in poverty, don't give it anything to God. You will be all right. But if you want prosperity, then start giving. When you start giving, you start growing more and more, and you will be surprised. I didn't have this kind of blessing in my life. And God is going to bless. Now, these people, when they came, I'm talking about Joseph's brother, they were bad people. But they got heart changed. Now they said, I can give my life for Benjamin, but I'm not going to let Benjamin die here or be prisoner here. So their life was changed. So God saw this. God said, now I'm going to bless these people. because of one man. One man can make a difference. One man, Adam, committed sin, and the whole world became sinner. One man, Jesus Christ, died for the mankind, and the whole world can be saved. So God uses one person. I was just talking to other day, one person was giving me a ride, and we're going to New Jersey. And I said, you know, one man's prayer, God can change the whole thing. I said, I prayed for my wife. She was working in that department, and people were smoking. She comes with a smoke, and I said, I'm going to pray that nobody will smoke in that room. Nobody will smoke in the hospital. And she was a little bit surprised, because she talked to the higher officers and everybody, and they said, we cannot do anything. But I prayed, no smoking in that room, no smoking in that hospital, no smoking in any hospital, and so God heard my prayer. One man's prayer, God can hear, and everything can change. So there is nothing impossible. We have to take a stand. Joseph is one man, but he is blessed, and he is blessing others. Okay, let's read verse 22.
To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment.
Now he said he gave everyone clothes, at least one pair of clothes or 2 pair of clothes. But to Benjamin he gives 300 silver coins. Now, they sold Joseph for how many coins? 20, right? 20 pieces of silver. And now they say, we sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And here Benjamin is getting 300 pieces of silver. Why? Because Benjamin was not there to selling his brother. He didn't do anything. He was innocent. So he got blessed because he wanted to show how much I love my brother. And then he gave him 5 changes of clothes, means 5 pairs of clothes maybe. You remember when they were eating, he gave 5 times more to Benjamin and other people. They were not starving. They got more than enough, so they didn't complain. They didn't say, hey, why we got less and why Benjamin got more? No, they didn't have any problem. The same thing now, they got their clothes. Not only that, his father is getting blessings and brothers are getting blessings, so they are not jealous to you. So when you love somebody, you want that person to get the share. And so the Joseph is giving all these years things I was thinking about my brother. So let me give it to him. And so he gave a lot of money, a lot of clothes, and everybody is happy. Verse 23.
And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way.
He's giving 10 donkeys laden with the good things of Egypt. Not grain. Good things of Egypt. Maybe special things, whatever in Egypt. 10 donkeys. And then he gives 10 more donkeys, that may be female donkeys, with the corn and bread and meat for his father. So you just think, 20 donkeys are loaded with the stuff. Before that, their brother came with the 10 donkeys. And what they bought? They bought a little bit. Father says, buy little food for us. So they were not able to load the donkey. Now, donkey, if you don't know, donkey can take more load than any horse. Donkey do not run like horse, but they can take more load than a horse. You might have seen some donkeys in other countries. The donkey looks a little bit and big wagon and big load on that donkey. And sometimes you say, poor donkey, see how much load they put it on him. But the donkey can take a heavy load than the horse. Horse can take at least 1 or 2 people, but donkey can take much more. Just think, 20 donkeys, how much food and how much stuff they can carry. Plus, they had wagons. Joseph wanted to do something. If I tell my father to come, father is not going to just get up and go. He's a man of God. He's going to pray. He's going to ask God, God, shall I go to Egypt or not? And so he might delay. And so he said, okay, until they make a decision, there are so many, almost 70 people are there, my relatives. Let's get 20 donkey loaded with the food. And so he's giving everything his father. Verse 24.
So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way.
Now he's giving everything to his brethren, including Benjamin. Now he could have said, can I keep the Benjamin now? You got all of this stuff? He said, no way. Benjamin has to go. If the Benjamin is not there and all these goods father sees, father is not going to be happy. He wanted to see his son. He said, my life is enrolled in my son. And that's what this argument was. And now they were even convinced, this is our brother. Benjamin knows his brother. But Benjamin did say, okay, brother, can I stay now and these people can go? No, Benjamin has to go. And so that was the proof that Benjamin comes and all of these wagons and all this stuff my father will see, and then he might believe. And so now they are sending him away, but he is warning them. You know what? Don't do any mischiefs. Don't fight on the way. Don't kill one another. Don't take revenge and kill my brother Benjamin or something. Don't do any harm. Have the unity and love and togetherness. Some people take advantage, they take your money, they took everything, and no thankful. No even said thank you. So for those people, why are you giving? There's no reason to give them. They have to be begging, or they have to be homeless, or they have to be out of their house. One lady called me yesterday. She said, you know, my daughter, they kicked her out of the house, and she's wandering in the car. How many children, I said, she has? She has 4 children. And now she has no home. She's running everywhere in the car. I said, 4 children? Does she have the father of these 4 children? She said, one person was Muslim, and he got 1 child or 2, and he died. Maybe went to prison or died. And she got all 4 children from the Muslim. And nobody supporting her. And she kicked out from the house. And so I said, a story is bad, but I want to talk to that girl. Bring her with you to church. And she said, I will. Because she said, but the point is, my husband doesn't want her in my house. We have a house. We can keep her in our house. But we cannot keep her because my husband. I said, is he there? Oh, he's there. Can he talk to me? I don't think he can talk to you. So I said, okay, then I'm going to pray. Someday God will soften his heart and he will understand. I said, is that house is yours or his? Oh, that house is mine and his. Both of us, we have the name in the house. I said, then he cannot say, you cannot have the daughter in the house. I'm going to pray, and I prayed with her. Your mother is not responsible. Your father is not responsible. You are responsible for your children. But if you are rooted and grounded in the Lord, God can do something for you. But the point I'm making, these are the problem comes to the people, but they have obstacles. They have to come to God and say, Lord, here is my children. They are innocent. They didn't do anything. I was the one running around with the other men, and I made this mess. I want to give my life to you, and I want you to open the door for me. God can do it. There is nothing impossible with God. He said, I can give to the birds. They don't have storage. And you are more valuable than the bird. God can give it to us. But if you start kicking the can, if you are kicking your husband, you're kicking your wife, you're kicking your children, you're kicking everybody, and I'm the boss, and I want to do the way I want to do, then the problem comes. We have to humble ourselves. So now he is saying, I warn you. You almost killed me. You put me in a pit, indirectly saying, and I was crying for help, you didn't help me. Now don't do it, this thing to my brother Benjamin. Behave yourself. Okay, verse 25.
And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not.
Jacob is saying, what you're trying to tell me? Joseph is alive, and he's the governor, and you are the one got the cloth of Joseph and told me that the animal came and killed him, and this is his cloth? How can I believe? Each time you come and tell me a new story, I cannot believe this. Now the Jacob is in the house. He did not see the wagons and all these chariots and the horses. He didn't see it. And he didn't see the 20 donkeys loaded with the food. These people are just talking to him, and he could not believe it. He said, I don't believe your story because you people are liars. You know, if the person lies all the time, can you trust that person sometimes? No. If you lie all the time, you know the story, wolf is coming or wolf is coming. And even the real wolf comes, nobody comes. Because you lied three times, now fourth times real wolf comes or real tiger comes, nobody will believe. And tiger can come and kill you and nobody will be coming. So now these people were fooled his father, so he doesn't believe in them. He doesn't believe. He said, I don't believe this what you're saying. Now they have to convince him, verse 27.
And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived.
And he could not believe them. He says, whatever Joseph said, they told everything. Not only that, says, see the wagons, see the loaded food on the donkeys. Can you believe now? And he said, and he believed, and he said, then his father's spirit revived. Mimi, he was almost dying for Joseph. Now he got a strength. He got more energy. I'm going to go and see my son. You know, somebody's lying on the bed and dying and nobody's there. My mother, one time, she was on the bed and her stomach was bulging like this. And somebody told me, your mother is waiting for you. She thought thinking she's dying. When I came and I said, Mommy, what's happening? She says, oh, son, look at my stomach. I cannot even breathe. I put my hand on her stomach and prayed, and that was like a balloon. Everything gone. She became normal and started praising God, and I went back. And she lived along. She lived at least 84 years, and she died. But the point I'm making, and she would have been living more, but she died with the accident. The point I'm making, when she saw that my son is here, I'll be all right. And that's what he's thinking. If my son Joseph is alive, I got my life back. Now I'm going to live. And you will see Jacob lives more. And so Joseph is alive. His father is happy and joyful. He got a life. And see what he's saying now. Verse 28.
And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die.
He said, this is enough. I don't care about the goods. I don't care about the wagons. I don't care about anything. My son is alive. That's it. That's good enough for me. My son is alive, and I'm going to see him before I die. And that's the way the chapter finishes. And we are going to see how Jacob comes to Egypt. Shall we rise? And let's pray and thank God. Our God is a good God. He supplies all our needs. Don't focus on people. Mother, father, brother, sister. No, they are not your source. God is our source. Put your trust in God. Kneel down and pray sometime and say, Lord, I want to be prosperous. And he will do it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a good God. Jacob lost his son for many, many, many years. But you made Jacob happy. Bless your people. If Jesus Christ is with you, you do not have to be worried about anything. Jesus Christ is Almighty God. He is El Shaddai. He supplies our need. Lord Jesus, give us grace to be loving one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.